I call the House Energy Committee meeting to order. Today is Tuesday, March 17th at 1:07 p.m. Members present are Representative Ruffridge, Representative Costello, Co-Chair Holland, and myself, Co-Chair Donna Mears, and we have a quorum to conduct business. I would like to remind members to silence their cell phones. And as a reminder for anyone in the audience, please utilize my staff, Griffin Plush, for notes. And we are also thankful to have Rep. Holland's committee aide, Tim Truer, here as well. Before we get started, I also like to thank our recording secretary, Cheryl Cole, and Renzo Moises from the Juno LIO for technical support. Today's agenda has gotten whittled down from our original, and today we are just having a discussion on the Renewable Energy Grant Fund. So as part of our committee, we have the additional role of the Finance Subcommittee for Department of Commerce and Community and Economic Development, under which Alaska Energy Authority resides, and so the Renewable Energy Fund is under there. As we heard from Director Thayer last week, and in our FinSub, there is not a placeholder funding recommended by AEA this year for the projects. Has been in the case in the past. It's been part of the governor's budget, but that's got $0 for projects this year. So I think that leaves us space to make some recommendations. There's not really a formal procedure for us to make those recommendations because the FinSub doesn't include the language section in which the REF has been in the past. So we're making our own path forward here and looking at doing some recommendations from the committee to the House Finance Committee for adoption into the language section. I've also been having conversations a little bit on the Senate side where the capital budget originates, and they don't have a committee that looks at the REF projects like we do here as well. So I think our recommendations may go some distance over on the Senate side as well as the larger budget is considered. Our office has put out a draft memo, which includes some recommended funding levels for the Renewable Energy Fund. I think that since our budget picture is changing pretty rapidly, the further downstream we make those decisions, the more certainty we have. And as the larger finance committee is making decisions on how to fit pieces into the budget, I thought that having a couple of buckets of recommended levels would be appropriate. So the recommended increments is, I think we recognize the benefits to the Renewable Energy Fund projects to rural Alaska. So the entire list is just over $41 million. So that's 28 out of 28 projects funded. The second increment is substantially smaller at just under $25 million with 13 of the 28 projects funded. And then last year's funding limit was, if I'm recalling correctly, about $7 million. We've got that in our presentation from Director Thayer from last week. The lowest number is similar and is 5 out of 28 projects. So there's a small compilation of match funds that are leveraged for those dollar amounts, as well as annual household energy savings that's expected from the implementation of those projects. So I'm hoping that we can open and have a little bit of discussion on thoughts of where we think those lines should be drawn of recommendations. Co-Chair Holland,
I've got
since you were with me when we drew those lines.
Yeah. Well, thank you through the chair. I know in looking at these lines, I was trying to give some attention to the diversity of the projects, both in terms of type of projects and the geographic diversity across the state. And so I think these represent a kind of three realistic lines, the first one being, you know, more typical of recent appropriations, the second line being one that I think really captures some really strong projects across the state, and the fourth one recognizing the value and the effort of all of these projects. I think the question I'd like to just throw out there for discussion, and perhaps Mr. Erickson from AEA might weigh in on this, but Co-Chair Mears, you might also, when we look at these recommended increments, we see the leveraged match funds, which shows an impressive leveraging of this money. When we look at the annual household energy savings, I think it's important to recognize that this money is just for 1 year, and you have to start looking at this over the life of a project that might be 10 or 20 years to recognize that what looks like a fairly small annual savings is much larger. But I think it also is, I was beginning to learn about, these savings don't really look at the full savings associated with the project. A lot of these projects are planning phase and early development phase and don't represent the entire full project. So I was wondering if perhaps Mr. Erickson might add some light to the savings and how to understand the savings that we see in these early REF projects that will turn into, I think, much larger savings, as we see up earlier in the memo, where we note that $333 million in appropriations has saved over $600 million in imported fuel costs. And I suspect there's also savings in PCE and other benefits that are coming. I'm just wondering, Mr. Erickson, if you're available, if you've got some thoughts on how we might better understand the full value of the savings that these projects are creating over their lifetime.
Yes, hello, this is Kai Erickson, Director of Planning with the Energy Authority, through the chair, Representative Paulin. That's a good question. When we look at the displacement figures provided in the recommendations, as you stated, are on an annual basis. When we look at the benefit cost ratio, we look at that over the lifetime of the project, so the savings relative to the capital cost, fully inclusive there. So I think that number is probably more representative, but in any case, it's not to say that those projects with lower BC ratios are not valid, as presented. These are all recommended projects by AEA. Some of those lower BC ratios are reflective of kind of the reality of project cost in rural Alaska, where the smaller size of the project relative to the cost of the installation is going to yield a lower BC ratio than in other areas. But as you can see here, there's some pretty strong projects, especially in the upper tier of the chart. When we look at the fuel savings, those projects will extend out, in many cases beyond 20 years. For those projects that we indicate are design or planning projects, we do estimate the size of the project based on the preliminary planning that's begun, or using benchmark projects to say that this is kind of what we expect based on historical projects of like technologies and applications, to give kind of a better understanding or a more equal measure to weigh the projects against each other. So just to give a better sense for folks like you, members of the committee, some help make that determination. Does that help answer your question?
It does kind of follow up. Yeah, thank you. It does. But I wonder, Mr. Erickson, if you could kind of go into a little bit more about the benefit to cost ratio, because I don't think that's included in the sheet attached to the memo, but I know it was a handout that we had last week when Mr. Thayer was here, and we see benefit cost ratios that range from less than one that would suggest that the cost is greater than the benefit. But on the other hand, we see a number of projects where the benefit to cost ratio can be, I'm seeing ones where it's 6-7 in that order of magnitude on the high end, showing that we're getting a very high leveraging. So I'm wondering if you might just kind of characterize what maybe the average benefit to cost ratio is on projects. I'm betting that it's over one, if it's perhaps close to one. And what we see when we see some of these high and at the same time some of the very low benefit to cost ratios and what that means about the project or perhaps the project phase?
Yes, through the chair, Representative Holland, Chair Holland, the benefit cost ratio is a good means by which to value projects, but it isn't clearly the only one by which AEA assesses the score for any individual project submitted. Because, like I said, in some of the more remote, smaller rural communities, you're going to have projects that are by nature somewhat more expensive, just given the remote location, as well as the logistics of getting the infrastructure out there, having to maintain it in the harsh climate and things of that nature. So you're going to have and then new infrastructure required to enable that infrastructure being implemented. So there's additional costs that sometimes aren't borne in other communities, which are able to more easily and readily integrate that infrastructure that would be proposed as part of the project. For instance, when you look at, say, like the SEPA project, right, that's putting in a third turbine in the powerhouse plant where there already is a slot for a turbine, utilizing existing infrastructure to move that power throughout the system. So you're getting all that additional energy, but leveraging the existing assets, where a lot of times in these rural communities, you're going to need greater, more robust switchgear and sometimes, transformers and other elements of distribution to get that energy to where it needs to be safely and reliably. So that's going to eat away at the benefit-cost ratio. But to answer your question on the average, yes, the average for the project submitted this year is a ratio of 1.4. So overall, it's a pretty strong group. To say, again, with respect to the phases of the planning, we try to estimate based on the preliminary design documents that they have here, some kind of conceptual project description, what we believe would be the savings, and then kind of do a simulation analysis to provide for a little bit of sensitivity to say if it were sized at, X versus Y, what would the savings be, and then try to, come to an assessment of what would be the most appropriate at this time. And estimates would be refined if they were to come back and apply again at future stages. Does that satisfy your question?
Yeah, through the chair, that's really helpful, Mr. Erickson. Thank you. So I think this is a strong approach that we're taking on this, and I support it.
Thank you. Are there other comments or discussion questions? Representative Ruffert?
Yeah, thank you. I'm wondering, last week I'd asked a question about the amount of generated power with these projects. Have we gotten an answer back on that yet?
Go ahead, Mr. Erickson.
To the chair, that information has been provided to Director Fair. I am not certain if that's been transmitted or not quite yet, but that is to be provided here in very short order.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm trying to quickly look at the more in-depth information we have from the project, our two-sheeters. I'm trying to do that quickly, and I don't.
To the chair, this was a specific follow-up item that Director Thayer had said he was going to follow up with us from last week. I've got it in my notes here as a follow-up item that he had.
So, yep. I was just trying to look and see if that was uncompiled in some of the other information that we have. It's not jumping out to me. Although I'm sure it is somewhere in all of the things that were considered during the REF process. The follow-up, Representative Ruffert, on that?
No, thank you.
Okay. There's a couple other notes I wanted to make on this. So this is a ranked project list that has gone through in depth by the Alaska Energy Authority. And these are all feasible projects. Anything that they thought was not executable is not on this list. And the legislature in the past has funded in the priority list and not skipping around. And my recommendation is that we continue that practice. Also, the request from Director Thayer was that the funding level by the legislature consider full projects and not partially fund things. So if a project is only partially funded, there's a good likelihood that they wouldn't really be able to follow through with that. So of course, every project has got different circumstances, but that was a request that legislative funding be through whole project lines and not kind of bifurcate anything. I think that's all the notes I had on the top of my head. Is there any other further questions or discussion from the committee? Representative Ruffridge?
Yeah, thank you, Chair Mears. I just want to say, so I have the Special Committee on Energy, looks like a memo that are saying that the there's a recommendation going forward of full funding of projects on the list, which would be 28 projects totaling $41 million. And I know that's coming from you and Co-Chair Holland. I just want to say I think that's would be difficult from my perspective to do. So I just want to put on the record that until we have a little bit more information about total energy generation, which looking at the list seems, the reason I asked the question, it seems like energy generation is missing from some many of these projects. A lot of the projects are either, as you said in the introduction, sort of initial phases of planning or some other sort of system elements like batteries and other things, which are, you know, certainly good and well, and it's not that I don't support those, but we're not really generating a lot in the way of electrons with these projects, and I'd like to have an answer to that before moving forward with a lot of these elements, but it'd be tough for me to recommend funding every single one on this list.
I hear that. Welcome, Representative Cobb.
Thank you, Chair.
Going to call you out, Representative Costell, if you've got anything to discuss, please do.
Thank you. So I see in the memo it says that the co-chairs of this committee are supporting the projects in priority order. And so I just want to also put on the record that I don't necessarily want to set a precedent that the committee might in some future years change that order. So I appreciate that you have that in there and just wanted, you know, because as we heard from Director Thayer, they go through a pretty exhaustive ranking system and put a lot of effort into that. So I just wanted to say that I appreciate that because I wouldn't want to change up the process as it is now.
Thank you. And as we know that our budget's got several more steps to go through as we go along. So pointing that out for anyone else down the line, I thought was important to have out there.
Chairman, I wonder if, and I'm watching the clock there too, I wonder if in response to Representative Costello's comment, which I think is a good point, if we might clarify the intent of us to support the REFAC recommendations.
Just reworded a little bit that is part of that process.
So rather than this committee or us suggesting and ordering, that what we're really suggesting is to follow the REFAC, which we've delegated their responsibility to do the due diligence.
Good point, because it's not just the department. The department does then go through the REFAC process, and so we are yet another body that is going through.
But that also then gives standing to the REFAC and does, I think, what Representative Costello is cautioning us about setting some language that might suggest a precedent to do it differently down the road. And I think right now we might want to reinforce what we have and that body's work and responsibility.
Excellent point. We will incorporate that by keeping it to single page document.
There we go.
As best as we can. Mm-hmm. Representative Kopp, you look like you might have something to add.
Appreciate the work of the chairs. And like Representative Costello said, that these weren't reordered. Same priority orders that have come through AEA. And, you know, and also an idea of what they cost based on the numbers of projects. It'd be funny to me. It just is a visual picture of fiscal commitment based on money's available and what we're not redoing the work of the Energy Authority. So I like that.
Thank you. So I guess I've got a request of Mr. Erickson, if you can poke your boss a little bit to get that information pushed along the chain to get back to the committee from Representative Ruffridge's request on generation. That would be helpful. And of course, with the consideration that generation is only one of the pieces of a of strengthening our systems. Are there further comments, questions, discussion from the committee at this point? All right. So with that, that concludes our business for today. On Thursday, we will hear a CS for House Bill 360. Oh, wait. Yes, we are. House Bill 369, the Energy Omnibus Bill. And seeing no further business before the committee, this meeting is adjourned at 1:28 p.m.